Welcome to Zichud Daf Sin Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, Anthony Masechet Beya Daf Yudal. The first parak, Beit Sishan Olda B'Yantiv. So the Tiktoks are going to focus on number one. And the next Mishnah, Beit Shammai, say that crushing spices on Yantiv requires a shinui zuta, a minor change, while crushing salt requires a greater shinui. Beit Silva hold that crushing spices does not require any shinui, and crushing salt requires a minor shinui. The Gemara notes that both Beit Shammai and Beit Silva agree that crushing salt requires more of a shinui than crushing spices, and ask for the reason. Rav Huna and Rav Chisda offered different explanations. One said, Kol kaderos kol nsrichas melech, then kol kaderos srichan tavlin. All cooked dishes need salt, but not all cooked dishes require spices, meaning that even if a person did not know which dish he would cook before Yantiv, he certainly knew that he would need salt. He therefore should have crushed salt before Yantiv. The other one said, Kol tavlin mafikin taman, melech enu mafika tama. All spices begin losing their flavor after being crushed, but salt does not begin to lose its flavor after being crushed. The nafkamina between the two explanations is when he knew before Yantiv that he was going to cook a dish that required spices, or in a situation they decide to cook a dish on Yantiv with morika, saffron, which does not lose any flavor after being crushed. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Habor kidneys be Yantiv. If a person wants to separate a mixture of kidneys and psoas, such as earth and straw, on Yantiv, Beit Shammai say, Bor ochel ve'ochel. He must separate the food from the psoas and eat it. He may not separate the psoas from the food, because Beit Shammai prohibit borer on Yantiv as well, even when it's for food preparation. Beit Silva say borer kadarko. He separates in the usual manner, by taking the psoas from the food. According to Beit Silva, borer is permitted on Yantiv because it's a malacha that may be performed in preparation for food. It was taught in a braisa where Gamliel said that Beit Silva was referring to a case of kasha'och maruba al psoas, only when the food is more than the psoas. But if the psoas is more than the food, everybody agrees that he must take the food and leave the psoas, since this requires less effort. The Gemara asks, how would it be permitted to take the food from the psoas when there's more psoas, given that the earth and straw are muksa, and the entire mixture should thus be deemed muksa? The Gemara answers that this above ruling is in a situation that nafish betirka mezuta b'shi'ura, when taking out the psoas requires more effort than taking out the food, but the amount of psoas is smaller than the amount of food. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Beit Shammai say, Ein mishalkim yantav el manos. We may not send presents on Yantav with the exception of readied portions. Rashi explains that only food ready to be eaten and not commonly left over until the next day, such as sliced portions of meat and fish, may be sent to friends. But Beit Shammai say that we may send animals, beasts, and fowl, whether alive or shechted, as well as wines, oils, fine flowers, and kidneys, but not grain. Since grinding the grain could have been done before Yantav without detracting from its taste, it's prohibited to be done. Rabbi Shimon permits grain to be sent. Rashi explains that it's possible to grind the grain in Yantiv by first cooking it and then grinding it in a small mortar. So once again, the 3 points are number one. In the next Mishnah, Beit Shammai say that crushing spices on Yantiv requires a shinui zuta, a minor change, while crushing salt requires a greater shinui. Beit Silva hold that crushing spices does not require any shinui, and crushing salt requires a minor shinui. The Gemara notes that both Beit Shammai and Beit Silva agree that crushing salt requires more of a shinui than crushing spices, and as for the reason, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda offered different explanations. One said, Kol kaderos kulan srichos melech, then kol kaderos srichos tavlin. All cooked dishes need salt, but not all cooked dishes require spices, meaning that even if a person did not know which dish he would cook before Yantiv, he certainly knew that he would need salt. He therefore should have crushed salt before Yantiv. The other one said, Kol tavlin mafikin taman, melech enu mafika tama. All spices begin losing their flavor after being crushed, but salt does not begin to lose its flavor after being crushed. The nafkamina between the two explanations is when he knew before Yantiv that he was going to cook a dish that required spices, or in a situation they decided to cook a dish on Yantiv with morika, saffron, which does not lose any flavor after being crushed. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Habor or kidneys be Yantiv. If a person wants to separate a mixture of kidneys and psoas, such as earth and straw, on Yantiv, Beit Shammai say, Bor ochel ve'ochel. He must separate the food from the psoas and eat it. He may not separate the psoas from the food, because Beit Shammai prohibit borer on Yantiv as well, even when it's for food preparation. Beit Silva say, borer kadarko. He separates in the usual manner, by taking the psoas from the food. According to Beit Silva, borer is permitted on Yantiv because it's a malacha that may be performed in preparation for food. It was taught in a braisa where Rabbi Gamliel said that Beit Silva was referring to a case, kasha'ocha maruba al psoas, only when the food is more than the psoas. But if the psoas is more than the food, everybody agrees that he must take the food and leave the psoas, since this requires less effort. The Gemara asks how it would be permitted to take the food from the psoas when there's more psoas, given that the earth and straw are muksa, and the entire mixture should thus be deemed muksa. The Gemara answers that this above ruling is in a situation that nafish betircha bezuta b'shi'ura, when taking out the psoas requires more effort than taking out the food, but the amount of psoas is smaller than the amount of food. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Beit Shammai say, Ein Mishalkim B'Yantiv Elamanos. We may not send presents on Yantiv with the exception of ready portions. Rashi explains that only food ready to be eaten and not commonly left over until the next day, such as sliced portions of meat and fish, may be sent to friends. But Beis Hillel say that we may send animals, beasts, and fowl, whether alive or shechted, as well as wines, oils, fine flours, and kidneys, but not grain. Since grinding the grain could have been done before Yantiv without detracting from its taste, it's prohibited to be done. Rabbi Shimon permits grain to be sent. Rashi explains that it's possible to grind the grain in Yantiv by first cooking it and then grinding it in a small mortar. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Duff Yud Dalet, and our standard Simmer relates to a Yud, a hand, and we often use a juggler. So here goes. The juggler masterfully juggling salt, spices, wood, and stone pestles, while doing borer or psoas from kidneys, was touched when his neighbor sent him a cow as a present, along with wine and oil on Yantiv. Once again, in slow motion. The juggler, that must be more duff, yud, hand. The juggler masterfully juggling salt, spices, wood and stone pestles, which reminds the Beis Hillel will agree that crushing salt requires more of a shinui than crushing spices, and Rav Huna and Rav Chisda offer different explanations. One said all cooked dishes need salt, but not all cooked dishes need spices, meaning that even a person did not know which dish he would cook before Yantiv, he certainly knew that he would need salt, and therefore should have crushed salt before Yantiv. The other one said, all spices begin losing their flavor after being crushed, but salt does not begin to lose its flavor after being crushed. And the nafkamina between the two explanations is when he knew before Yantiv he was going to cook a dish that required spices, or in a situation that he decided to cook a dish on Yantiv with marika, saffron, which does not lose any flavor after being crushed. So the juggler masterfully juggling salt, spices, wood and stone pestles, while doing borer or psoas from kidneys, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one wants to separate a mixture of kidneys and psoas, such as earth and straw, on Yantiv, Beis Shammai say, borer ochel ba'ochel. He must separate the food from the psoas and eat it. He may not separate the psoas from the food, because Beis Shammai prohibit borer on Yantiv as well, even when it's for food preparation. Beis Hillel say, borer kadarko. He separates in the usual manner by taking the psoas from the food. According to Beis Hillel, borer is permitted on Yantiv because it's a malacha that may be performed in preparation for food. So the juggler masterfully juggling salt, spices, wood, and stone pestles while doing borer or psoas from kidneys was touched when his neighbor sent him a cow as a present, along with wine and oil on Yantiv. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Beis Shammai say, Ein Mishalchim Yantiv Elamanos. We may not send presents on Yantiv with the exception of ready portions. Rashi explains that only food ready to be eaten and not commonly left over until the next day may be sent to friends. But Beis Hillel say that we may send animals, beasts, and fowl, whether alive or shechted, as well as wines, oils, fine flours, and kidneys, but not grain. Since grinding the grain could have been done before Yantiv without detracting from its taste, it's prohibited to be done. So once again, the juggler masterfully juggling salt, spices, wood, and stone pestles, while doing borer or psoas from kidneys, was touched when his neighbor sent him a cow as a present, along with wine and oil on Yantiv. All right, now it's time for our four blah back Chazara. Daf Yud. So the Simmer Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The minion of birdkeepers. Minion. That must be more in Daf Yud. The minion of birdkeepers waiting for the 10th man, who is busy handling his dove from the first brood, which reminds us that the next mission discusses how the muksa status of the birds in the dovecote are removed. Beis Shammai say that one may not take doves from a dovecote on Yantiv unless he handled those very doves erev Yantiv. But Beis Hillel say it's sufficient that one stands before Yantiv and says, I'll take this dove and that dove without actually handling them. Rav Chanan Barami said that Malkokas is with the Brich Rishtona, the first brood of the season. So the minion of birdkeepers waiting for the 10th man, who was busy handling his doves from the first brood, were distraught as they saw that the white and black doves didn't stick to their color-coded dovecotes. Which reminds us that the mission was coming to teach that in the case of finding white doves in the pigeonhole one had designated for black ones, and black ones in the pigeonhole that he designated for white ones, that there also for it might have occurred that the designated doves flew away, and these are different doves in the dovecote. The Gemara suggests this supports Rabbi Chanina's principle of rov v'karov holach achar rov. When a conflict arises between the principles of majority and proximity, we follow the principle of rov. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying that the case involves a dovecote with a platform in front of it on which birds from elsewhere constantly roost. Therefore, even if one assumes the birds came from the closest location, there are still muksa since the majority of birds are muksa. So the minion of birdkeepers waiting for the 10th man, who was busy handling his doves from the first brood, were distraught as they saw that the white and black doves didn't stick to their color-coded dovecotes, while young little bird left his group and hopped away. Which reminds us, we compare a case of designating three birds and finding only two to putting aside two mana of Maaseh Sheni and finding only one. Since birds hop around, it's presumed one wandered off, and therefore the other two are presumed to be from the original three. Whereas with a Maaser Sheni, the Rabbanan hold that since people generally do not separate their Maaser Sheni money before taking it to Yerushalayim, it must be the person forgot that he took all the Maaser Sheni money and replaced it with Chulin. Daf Yadav, so the Siman Daf Yadav is stars. So here goes. The cute little bird leading a trail of tiny stars. Stars? That must be more in Daf Yadav. The cute little bird leading a trail of tiny stars wherever it went was too scared to turn the corner to the neighboring Davka, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Yoram Beis Day that if doves were inside the pigeonhole when one designated them before Yontif, but the only doves he found in Yontif were on the ledge in front of the pigeonhole, they are prohibited. However, if before Yontif there were no birds there in the vicinity of the dovecote except these, then they are permitted. The Gemara clarifies the last cases where there is another pigeonhole within 50 amos, the Kagon Tekaim of a Karen Zabis. However, it's located on the other side of the corner of the building. The Mishnah is coming to teach that a young bird will only continue to hop as long as it can turn around and see its pigeonhole. So the cute little bird leading a trail of tiny stars wherever it went was too scared to turn the corner of the neighboring dovecote. So it turned back and crossed over a hide that was spread out for people to trample on, which reminds the Gemara why it's permitted to spread hides but not to spread chalev. If there's an equal concern if they were prohibited, people might refrain from shechni and yantim. The Gemara answers that in the case of the hide, it's not evident that it was spread out for tanning because it's also fit for sitting on. People assume the Rabbanan permitted it for sitting. But in the case of the chalev, people say spreading it out would prevent spoilage. And they'll say, what difference does it make if I salt it or spread it out? And they'll come to salt chalev on yantiv, which is a derisive prohibition. So the cute little bird leading the trail of tiny stars wherever it went was too scared to turn the corner to the neighboring dovecote. So it turned back and crossed over a hide that was spread out for people to trample on and was in front of a vendor that was putting back his window shutters. Which reminds us, Ula said, Shoshidvarim hitiru sofam mishum tchilasam. There are three cases in which the Rabbanim permitted their final phase on account of their initial phase. The first case is Orlif Neadorsim, placing a hide where it will be trampled on. If people are not allowed to spread a hide, they'll not shecht. The second case is replacing shutters of vendor stalls. If vendors have to leave their shutters open the entire day, they'll be reluctant to remove the shutters in the first place for people to purchase their needs for the yantiv meal. And the third case is replacement of a dressing on the wound of a kohen in the temple on yantiv. If the kohen is prohibited from replacing the bandage, he might choose to keep it on and refrain from performing the avoda.
Daf Yud Beis. So the Zimmer Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes.
The parade of six brothers and the other six brothers mentioned later on, 12 brothers all together. That must be more on Daf Yud Beis. The parade of six brothers carrying the loving Sifri Torah and their little sisters who just rubbing on Yantav, which reminds us the next Mishnah states, Beis Shammai say that we may not take out either a child, a luv, or a Sifri Torah from a Shusi Yachid to a Shusi Rabbi on Yantav, but Beis will permit it. Rashi explains that Beis Shammai hold that a Hotzah on Yantav is prohibited for non-food related purposes. Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Avdimi said that a brisa that taught of a person shechs a donated oil on Yantav is lash, must be Beis Shammai who does not hold a matoch. It's therefore forbidden to shecht an animal that will not be eaten. For if it was Beis Hillel who hold a matoch, since hotel is permitted for a food-related purpose, it's also permitted for a non-food-related purpose. And here too, they would say matoch. Since shechita was permitted for a food-related purpose, it's permitted when there's no food-related purpose, such as in this case of the ola. So the parade of six brothers carrying loving Sifrei Torah and their little sisters and Rishos Rabbi on Yantiv pass a man carrying a sign and warning passers-by not to carry on Shabbos. Which reminds us, Rabbi questioned Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Avdimi's interpretation of the chokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and suggested Dilma be'erev ha'hotzel Shabbos vein erev ha'hotzel yomtiv kamufage, that perhaps they disagree whether the institution of erev and the malach of ha'hotzel apply to Shabbos but not to yomtiv. Beis Shammai hold that erev and ha'hotzel apply to yomtiv as well, and therefore they prohibit carrying things not needed for food-related purposes. Whereas Beis Hillel hold that erev and ha'hotzel do not apply to yomtiv, and therefore permit carrying out things not needed for food purposes, such as a child who over Sefer Torah. The Gemara brought the following pasuk as a possible support, well, totzi masmi batechem b'yom Shabbos, and do not carry a burden from your home on the day of Shabbos. We can infer from here that only on Shabbos is hotzah prohibited, but not on yantiv. And since the Malchokas is limited to hotzah on yantiv, even Beis Hillel may agree that one of shechs a donated ol on yantiv is chayiv malchus. And there is no basis for Rabbi Yosef Bar Avdimi to say the braisa is consistent with Beis Hillel. Rav Yosef challenges this explanation. So the parade of six brothers carrying a loving Sifri Torah and their little sisters in Rishus Rabim Yan Yantiv passed a man carrying a sign and warning passers-by not to carry on Shabbos, while the other six brothers delivered challah and a heavy load of meat matanos to the neighborhood Kohen. Which reminds us, there's a Malchus Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, whether one may deliver matanos and challah to a Kohen on Yantiv. Beis Shammai draws a comparison to Truma, which Beis Hillel rejects.
Daf Yud Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a Bar Mitzvah boy. So here goes.
The Ben Levi Bar Mitzvah boy, that must be more in Daf Yud Gimel.
The Ben Levi Bar Mitzvah boy who proudly made wine from the Meiser grapes he was given to give Trumas Meiser, which reminds us, it was taught in a Braisa, that a Ben Levi to whom they gave ears of grain for his Meiser, Osa Osen Gorn, must make them fit for a granary, meaning he must completely process the wheat before separating Trumas Meiser. And similarly, if he's given grapes, he must make them into wine, and olives, he must make them into oil, and then he separates Trumas Meiser from them and gives a Trumas Meiser to a Kohen. Shekashem, Shetruma Gadoa, and in Nitelus, El Mina Gor Mina Yekev, for just as a Truma Gadoa is not taken other than from the granary and from the wine press, Kach Trumas Meiser, and in Telus, El Mina Gor Mina Yekev, so true Trumas Meiser is not taken other than from the granary and the wine press. So the Ben Levi Bar Mitzvah boy who proudly made wine from the Meiser grapes he was given to give Trumas Meiser and knew to only give Trumas Meiser and not Truma Gadoa from his Meiser, which reminds us, Rabbi Shimon Lakish said, Meiser Rishon Shekdimu Bishibalin Patrim Truma Gadoa. Meiser Rishon, if one did the separation before separating Truma while the grain was still in the ears, he's Patrim from Truma Gadoa, as the Pasuk says in reference to Meiser Sheni, Reimos Mimenu Truma Sashem, Meiser Mina Meiser, and you shall separate from it Hashem's Truma, a Meiser from the Meiser, which teaches us, Meiser Mina Meiser, Martilcha, Bo Truma Gadoa, but Truma's Meiser Mina Meiser. I told you, referring to Levi, to separate a Meiser from a Meiser, meaning Truma's Meiser, and not both Truma Gadoa and Truma's Meiser from the Meiser. So the Ben Levi Bar Mitzvah boy who proudly made wine from the Meiser grapes he was given to give Truma's Meiser, and knew to only give Truma's Meiser and not Truma Gadoa from his Meiser, had his guests peel off cups full of barley kernels to eat at a Shabbos Suda, which reminds us. The Gemara brought a mission from Meiser that ruled that one may not peel off barley kernels, collect them in his hand, and eat them without first separating Meiser. Yet, the Gemara concluded, based on the practice of Rav and Rav Yechiah, that one may peel off and collect even cups full of kernels on Shabbos. Rav Sheshes Breid Ravidi explained the difference between the halakas of Shabbos and Meiser in that regard to Shabbos, Malachas Machshevas Asur Torah, the Torah prohibited only calculated labor, meaning a professional activity. Although peeling off barley kernels by hand is considered the Gemara Malacha for Meiser, it's permitted on Shabbos, for it's not a Malachas Machshevas, a calculated professional labor. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman, Zichron Moshiach, a great day and great learning.